Good day, fantastic gamers, to another episode of the Daily Days Podcast, that weekly bite-sized show designed to provide a quick splash of retro gaming news and reviews, all mixed with a modern perspective. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble guide down this bygone street, and today I wish to celebrate one of my favorite gaming handhelds, the PlayStation Portable, otherwise known as the PSP. So yes, the portable gaming landscape has almost always been dominated by the Big N and its tireless Game Boy line, but there was a brief time wherein Nintendo faced some real competition. Released in Japan on December 12, 2004, and North America on March 24, 2005, the PlayStation Portable marked Sony's first foray into the handheld fray, offering some mean competition to Nintendo's less powerful, less sexy, dual-screened machine. Indeed, the PSP sported a high-quality 4.3-inch widescreen display, a speedy CPU clocked at 333 MHz, an analog stick or nub as some might say, support for memory stick flash memory, it had online connectivity with a web browser and PlayStation Network support, and it even bore the ability to play downloaded PS1 games. The system also saw four different revisions, at least in the US. The first model was known as the PSP 1000, which was replaced by the slimmer and lighter PSP 2000, which itself got bumped for the PSP 3000, which got a more vibrant screen and a built-in microphone. Finally, there was the PSP Go, a radically redesigned system that got rid of the UMD support for download-only content. And that's right, I haven't discussed UMDs yet, that proprietary disc-based system that allowed Sony to squeeze huge games in their tiny console. Essentially, it was a tiny CD encased in a thin, protective plastic shell. These would then be inserted into the system and read via laser like any other CD-based console, and UMD did indeed stand for Universal Media Disc, despite never being used outside the PSP system itself, at least as far as I am aware. Anyway, this tech did lead to some big epic experiences, but it came at the price of loading times and potentially some mechanical issues, although I never have personally experienced the latter. Overall, the PSP was a nice piece of tech, often living up to its promise of providing home console experiences on the go. It even gave the Nintendo Switch its greatest trick, the ability to connect the system to a TV and play games on the larger display. Of course, this was done via component cables in somewhat clunky fashion versus the Switch's more elegant docking solution, but it was still an appreciated option all the same. If only its successor, the PlayStation Vita, had taken this particular feature further, its competition, the Nintendo Switch, may not seem quite so special and unique as it does right now. We'll be right back. So, if the PSP was so rad, why did it fail? Well, first, it didn't fail. That's really just a myth, probably perpetuated by some Nintendo fanboys. But the truth is, the PSP was a huge success for Sony, selling roughly 82 million units worldwide. To be fair, that is only about half of the Nintendo DS's 154 million sold, a number that includes DSi sales as well. But by any standard measure, the PSP was a huge hit, and the perfect match for the high-end tech-savvy user. Its high price, $249 at launch, while fair, was probably to blame for its failure to attract an even greater audience. And that's a shame, for Sony's first portable has a wonderful, often overlooked library of quality titles that in many cases still look good and play fine today. A few years ago, I experienced a terrible theft and lost almost all my PSP collection. And you know what? I went right back out and repurchased everything I could. The games are really that awesome, and many right now can still be had for some amazingly low prices. With the time I have left now, I want to go over some of these titles from my own collection I feel are noteworthy and/or impressive technical achievements. First, if you're a Mega Man fan, you should definitely check out this system, especially Mega Man Powered Up, a sublime cutesy remake of the original game chock full with amazing extras. And Mega Man X fans have reason to be excited too. Maverick Hunter X is a cool remake of the Super Nintendo classic, and even boasts a 20-minute anime intro that's simply amazing. Next is Castlevania: The Dracula X Chronicles, which is the only time we Westerners got an official physical release of the classic Rondo of Blood. This newer version sports the original plus a decent remake, and both are pretty fun, although I do prefer the original one still. Moving on, I definitely need to mention God of War as it is all the rage right now, and its two PSP iterations, God of War Chains of Olympus and God of War Ghost of Sparta, are excellent must-haves and really show just how capable the PSP hardware really is. And for RPG lovers, the system was a delight. Re-releases of Persona 2 and 3, a re-release of the rare Valkyrie Profile, Ys 1 and 2, 3 and 7, Riviera, Lunar Silver Star Harmony, Disgaea, Phantom Brave, and these are just a mere sample of everything that's out there. I already mentioned the Ys series, but action RPGs were definitely bold on the system, with games like the sensational Monster Hunter, the Phantasy Star Portable series 1 and 2, and a little niche game known as Garurumon: A Monstrous Tale. Those who loved strategy games would also be pleased by the PSP's library, with titles like R-Type Command, Tactics Ogre, Metal Gear Acid, Jean or Joan D'Arc, and Final Fantasy Tactics. Likewise, the PSP had plenty of fighters, like the rare re-releases of Power Stone 1 and 2, an exclusive version of Soul Calibur with a playable Kratos, and Dissidia Final Fantasy, which combines characters from multiple Final Fantasy universes in one big shebang. So, is anyone convinced yet of the PSP's majesty? What about game compilations then? You have Capcom Classics Collections Volumes 1 and 2, Taito Legends and Sega Genesis Collection. Prefer wacky experimental fare? Well, you have the strategic rhythmic Patapon, the sing-songy platformer Loco Roco, and the weird RPG Half-Minute Hero. Like shooters, you got the claymation game Platypus and the fine Gradius collection. Looking for even more remakes? Well, there are Parappa the Rapper, Medieval Resurrection, and Final Fantasy IV. And now, just off the top of my head, you have Final Fantasy Crisis Core, Little Big Planet, Ratchet and Clank Size Matters, Ultimate Ghost and Goblins, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars. You got Burnout, Outrun 2006, Hammerin' Hero, ZHP, and you know what the sad part really is? This is still but a fraction of the excellent library of games out there desperate to be played. So yes, the PSP was a fine system in its day that strangely isn't remembered as fondly as one would assume, considering again that excellent roster of titles. And this doesn't even take into account how excellent of an emulation machine it was, too. It wasn't a perfect device, no doubt. It was a little on the large size, not as long as the Nintendo Switch, but still. I also would have liked to have seen a second analog nub to go along with that first, and some trophy support would have been nice. Battery life was also a little skimpy, not terrible and not as bad as the Switch, but it could have used an extra hour or two per charge. But perhaps the system's greatest weakness was again those UMD discs, although they were a clever design and did allow for some large games. Sony may have been better off sticking with solid-state media like Nintendo. That also would have helped with the battery life. But nevertheless, the PSP is still a remarkable product well ahead of its time. For anyone who does not own this gem of a system, I recommend going out and trying to find one. They're pretty available, and if you can get the 3000 model at a good price, I think you'll be happy with the games in store. Because really, many of these fine titles may never see life on any other system. And that's a true shame. So, thanks for listening, everyone, as always. Until next week, this is Mr. Picario, signing off for now.